Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly on the air as we take a look back at the week that was for your Milwaukee Bucks, get you set for what's up next, and that's the final two games of this six-game homestand. And not only that, then you start the week-long journey through New York around the holidays. I heard a few people on the team put it as, if you weren't going to be home for Christmas, is there a better place to be than New York City? Tommy, thoughts?
No interest for me in going to New York City during the Christmas season. It's going to be too busy.
Okay. Nonetheless, the Bucks will be in New York for about a week, so you wrap up the homestand on Thursday. They will leave for New York on Friday, and then they have back-to-back games against the Knicks, and they are early tips. Saturday, 11:30 a.m., tip-off Saturday, December 23rd. I love it, Tommy. Don't shake your head. Means we are going to get you started with our pregame at 11. We'll have Bucks talk until 3:30, 4 at the latest. We can get on with our holiday. And then 2 days later, Christmas Day, once again, the Bucks playing on Christmas Day and once again playing in New York. The early game, once again, that's an 11 o'clock tip. Bucks and Knicks, back-to-back games. 2 days after that, the 27th, they move on to Brooklyn to take on the Nets. And 2 days after that, geez, that's already next week. That is already 1 week from this upcoming, what is that, Thursday?
Yeah, finish your shopping.
Start your shopping is more like it.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Then the Bucks wrap up that road trip in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. That certainly became an interesting matchup with the news that the Cavs will be out without two big pieces. Darius Garland, I believe, had surgery today. He suffered a fractured jaw over the weekend. And Evan Mobley had his knee scoped. He's going to be out about 2 months. Now you got to keep an eye on Cleveland and what happens there. They are playing tonight, and they're beating the Rockets as of right now, 112-105 in the fourth quarter, the same Houston Rockets that the Bucks took care of last night. And the other game of intrigue so far is in Philadelphia, where the 76ers are currently losing to the Bulls, 196. I mention this because Philadelphia, by the numbers, the 76ers, you can make a very, very strong case. They have been the best team in basketball so far this season. They're right up there with the Bucks in terms of their record, second in the Eastern Conference. They're a half game back of the Bucks pending this result tonight. Their net rating has been the best in the league. And, you know, we certainly would point to the net rating in the old years when the Bucks were one of the best there. It's still a work in progress this year. But that is usually your best determination of who the elite teams are. And so far, that's been Philly. Now, same as we've heard for the Bucks, there's been a lot of criticism of the Yabuts. Yeah, but who have they played? They played some low-scale teams and have mopped the floor with them. Joel Embiid habitually not playing in the fourth quarter, just as we saw the Bucks do against the Pistons on Saturday night, because the 76ers have been that much in control of these games. So those are two games to keep an eye on the schedule tonight, and also in Atlanta, the Hawks and the Pistons. Does this losing streak for Detroit move to 24? Late in the third quarter, and the Hawks are up double digits right now. We'll keep you up to date on that throughout the night as we continue the show. I do want to shift to the Bucks, though. After all, it is Bucks Weekly. And last night, you know, this weekend overall, I joked about this on a different show earlier today, but Saturday against the Pistons, we knew Chris Middleton was out when we saw the early injury report. It was night one of a back-to-back. That has traditionally been the game that Chris has missed, the front end of the back-to-back. So Chris Middleton did not play. That was not a surprise. The surprise was what, about an hour before tip, when we learned from head coach Adrian Griffin 90 minutes before tip that Malik Beasley would be out with a non-COVID illness. So you knew you'd have to replace one starter, and all of a sudden that became two. Now, you got Pat Connaughton back on Saturday, but I think you really did question, his first game back, coming back from an ankle injury. I'm sure they're going to be cautious with him. I don't know if you move him in the starting lineup. So who does that mean starts? Saturday against the Pistons was the game for you, if you are active on Bucks Twitter, on the Bucks subreddit. If you're online and a Bucks fan, Saturday was the game for you because you finally got your wish. You got to see Marjon Beauchamp and Andre Jackson Jr. in the starting lineup alongside Giannis, alongside Damian Lillard, and alongside Brooke Lopez. And it did not disappoint. We've heard both of those players talk about how much they enjoy playing with one another. And I think the reason why is simple. This is a veteran team. You're not the young guy. You're one of the young guys when you're out there with each other. And we talked about this with the defense and some of the steps that that defensive group was taking earlier in the season. It looks better with the young players, and it certainly did earlier in the season. It's getting better with the entire group. But it looked better with the young players earlier in the season because this is the only system defensively they know at the NBA level. You're not trying to break some habits. They weren't a part of the Bud drop defense for the last 5 years. Marjon was last year. Andre Jackson Jr. was not. They were active over the summer, in summer league, in training camp. They were running this the most, so they're most comfortable with it. And I think that kind of lends to why they enjoy playing with each other. So that was a nice step forward for that duo. And they continue to make some plays when they're out there together. And you certainly notice the energy that they bring, especially defensively. But last night was the night for Andre Jackson Jr. And I hesitate to say it was his coming out party because I think we've been well aware of him and we've been asking him to come out and play for weeks now. You got that last night. You got a chance to see him close. And I think that's very telling that Adrian Griffin has the confidence in him and believes in him enough to allow him to close games. Granted, he didn't technically close because he fouled out. But that's very impressive to see that. He made a number of plays, and he did it without scoring the basketball. He had a career-high 10 points against the Pistons just under that last night. Not to say that he can't, but the plays that he makes are non-scoring plays with him scoring the basketball. And that's what's most important. That's what's going to keep you on the floor as a young player, defensive plays and making winning plays without scoring the basketball. Andre Jackson Jr. does that in droves. And it's potentially setting up a very, very interesting conversation when this team reaches full strength. And that conversation is, what do you do with the starters? Do we leave them as is? Malik Beasley has certainly filled it up offensively. But look, I go back to one of the big talking points that we had earlier in the season, and that's trying to figure out, before the season, I should say, trying to determine who that fifth starter was. I thought there was a very, very good chance it was going to be Marjon Beauchamp. And we heard from day one that we got a chance to speak with Adrian Griffin. Malik Beasley was the guy that they tapped. I think a lot of us thought, Marjon Beauchamp. Nobody was thinking Andre Jackson Jr. is going to potentially be a starter and a high usage role player on this team coming out of the draft. I think you saw flashes that first game against the Chicago Bulls in the preseason. You're like, man, we can work with this. The thought and the hope was we can develop this so that by the end of the year, maybe he can become a rotational piece. I think he's already there. And the big thing with that starting group is, look, you do not need scoring from that fifth starter. You probably need more defensive help, and that's the biggest reason why I think people raised an eyebrow when it was Malik Beasley from day one. But Marjon Beauchamp, Andre Jackson Jr., that duo continuing to make strides, especially Andre Jackson Jr. and his defense, that's what's going to keep him on the floor. I do want to revisit some comments that Adrian Griffin had about Andre Jackson Jr. and some of the takeaways that we saw from his teammates throughout the course of the weekend, especially last night's game. But speaking of Andre Jackson Jr., the man who gave him the nickname Ajax, Marcus Johnson, he is the guest on this week's edition of Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You'll hear that conversation between he and Gale Klappa after this on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all, the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager John Horst,
by far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. That line from an old rock and roll song sums up the week that was for the Bucks and the NBA. For starters, Giannis and Dame made history in a physical, tension-filled game against the Pacers. But then it got weird, as tempers flared over who took the game ball. That episode, though, may have added a little bit of jet fuel to the Bucks locker room. Over the weekend, they motored past the Pistons and put away a Houston Rockets team that's young and improved. Add it all up, the Bucks have won 19 of their first 26 games this season. Tonight, we sit down with one of Milwaukee's favorite sons. After an all-star career, his number 8 hangs in the rafters at Fiserv Forum. Off the court, he's been an actor, a playwright, and today he's a color analyst on Bucks TV. Marcus Johnson, always good to be with you. Welcome back to Courtside.
Well, thank you, Gail. Great being here. Thank you so much.
Well, Marcus, we'll dig right in. You've been around the game a long time. Have you ever seen anything like what happened last Wednesday after the Bucks beat the Pacers and then the search began for who took the game ball? Walk us through your take on all that.
Well, that was just one exciting finish to a well-played game by the Bucks. And so from my perspective, Gale, I mean, you have to maintain, you know, context of the entire game. So it started with Giannis giving Halliburton, Tyrese Halliburton, talented young player, talented budding young superstar out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, led his high school team, Oshkosh North, to a state championship. So, you know, really, really good, Iowa State. But so Giannis gives him a forearm shiver, and he falls to the ground in a heap. I think it was a bit of a flop, but the Pacer fans have given me a hard time for calling it as such. But anyway, so Giannis gets, I believe, a flagrant for that. So it starts with that. Bobby Portis on a follow-through move, I think pretty much breaks the nose of Isaiah Jackson shortly thereafter. Aaron Nesmith, late in the game, maybe fourth quarter or so, tackles Giannis like he's wrestling an alligator. I think I called it as such on the air. And so these are the kinds of things that were happening. Bobby Portis gets ejected shortly thereafter for some choice words that he had with either an official or a Pacer or a combination of both. And then when the game ends, I'm up doing the broadcast from my position with Lisa Byington, and we're about to throw it down to our great sideline reporter, Melanie Rick. She has Giannis on the floor. He has just scored 64 points, 20 field goals, all of which came within 5 feet or less. And then I noticed Chris Middleton, Gil, in a very heated, animated discussion at the end of the Pacer bench, to the left of center court where Giannis was about to do the interview. And I say on the air as we're about to throw it down, I tell our producer, I'm like, man, something is going on down there. Well, I think he's just talking to Halliburton. My producer responds, Dan Keener. And I was like, no, something's going on. And right at that moment, Giannis sprints over and joins the conversation between Middleton and Halliburton. And Giannis is really, you know, laying into the Halliburton. Lloyd Pierce, the assistant coach for the Patriots, comes over. And then Danny Carter, the great security guard for the Bucks, he's trying to hold Giannis back, and Giannis just breaks free, Gil, and he just barrels down the tunnel. And I think I made mention of the fact that the coaches needed to be alerted to what was going on. They weren't out there. I found out later they were doing what they always do after the game, to go back to the coaches' lounge and kind of, you know, congratulate themselves, cool down, talk about the win and relax. So I didn't see what happened, obviously, from where I was on the court, but from the video footage that I've seen and everything else, the Bucks team and some of the Pacer players and Pacer personnel got into a shouting, shoving match. And so it was just crazy, man. But look, I'm not going to respond or comment on the merits of whether or not that game ball was important. I think it was. 64 points for Giannis, breaking into the top five, and 3-point field goals made for Dame Lillard. I think, and I understand there's 3 game balls, I guess, now. This is all after the fact. But Giannis wanted the ball that he had played with that game. And as a player, you know the game ball. You know, it was a fracas. It was a Donnybrook. It was a brouhaha. And one of the craziest endings I've ever seen, man.
Oh, yeah. I will say this, though. You are correct that it appears that the Pacers thought they actually had the game ball. So, but all in the rearview mirror, and I'm sure the league will have something to say at some point about all of this. But moving forward on Giannis, Marcus, you've seen him up close and personal for much of his career. Guy continues to grow as a player. How in the world would you describe his growth that we continue to see from the Greek Freak?
Well, and I would also add, Gil, as a player and as a person and as a leader of this basketball team, leader of this franchise, and that's been evidence in terms of how thoughtful he has been in his post-game interviews. He had the back and forth with Eric Name of The Athletic, I think, last year after the team was eliminated in the playoffs against Miami, about the definition of failure and as long as you learn from what you're going through and it's part of the process. I mean, so those kinds of insights from a guy like Giannis in terms of where he is now and where he came from is such a – it's been a long journey, but you can see – the maturity, the family man, just had his third child, he and his lady Mariah, recently. And all the things that he's been talking to me about the last 9 years I've been here, Gil, in terms of wanting a big family and wanting a lot of kids around him and wanting to be a leader and wanting to be one of the best players in the world. And when he said that, Gil, what's interesting is that, and I remarked to Dave Kane, who was sitting in for Lisa Byington a couple of nights ago against the Pistons, that, you know, when I saw him as a second-year player, 20 years old, averaging, coming off a 16.7 rebound per game season, I thought his ceiling might be around 20 points and 8-9 rebounds would be a really good year for him. He may sneak onto an all-star team or two before it was all said and done. But to see where he's come from, what he's doing now, two-time MVP, a finals MVP, one of the top 2 or 3 players between he and Embiid and Jokic in the entire world right now, and then his great leadership skills. You can question the motives behind the game ball and things of that nature, but he's a man with a lot of pride, a lot of passion, and he sets the tone for this entire franchise.
Amen. And we'll have more with our friend Marcus Johnson in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to more of Gale with Bucks legend and TV analyst Marcus Johnson.
Marcus, over the past few games, it sure looks like Damian Lillard, the Bucks' big offseason addition, is beginning to find his 3-point rhythm. Your thoughts?
Yes, he is. And the thing about Damian Lillard is that he's a guy, Gale, that takes a lot of pride in being daytime. Damian Lillard, one of the best players in the league, a top 5 to 10 player in the league. 30 points a game last year and just has this reputation, as we saw the first game of the year against the Philadelphia Sixers when he, you know, had 39 points and pretty much single-handedly won the game for the Bucks. We've seen that, Gale, about 3 or 4 occasions already, but he really hasn't played offensively at the level that he is capable of, and he really understands that better than most. And we've had conversations where you know, where I've tried to go, I've tried to pump him up and say, man, it's coming. You're looking good. He's like, man, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait till I really get into a rhythm. Wait till I really get into a groove. And this was before the weekend. So this was like walking onto the court Saturday against the Pistons. Now, all of a sudden, Gail, I'm watching, and his pull-up jumper from the three-point line and even in off of screens, that rhythm was back, and he was knocking down that shot. And I've seen it building for the last four or five games, but it just all kind of, you know, came to a head on Saturday night against the Pistons. I think he finished with 33 points and had that three-point shot really working, coming off of ball screens, off the dribble, little step back, side steps, you name it. He was knocking them down. And then he carried that over against the number two defensive team in the association, and a team that was throwing a lot of length at him at every turn. So you had a Jabari Smith Jr. at 6'11", you know, matched up against him a lot of the times. Dylan Brooks at 6'7", matched up against him a lot of the times. And he still found a way, Gail, to punch the ticket for 33 points in that game. So he's got that rhythm going. And so what happens in the Rocket game, Giannis gets double teamed, triple teamed, all the defensive resources that the Rockets could muster are thrown at Giannis because they know that he's averaging about, you know, 40 points a game over the last few games or so. They don't want him to get off, get into a rhythm. And then Dame was able to take over along with Chris Middleton in the fourth quarter. I'd be remiss not mentioning him. But Dame's 39 points in that game was just classic Dame. And so, and I've said it all along, Gail, is that you really won't be able to define what this team really is until around the first of the year. Give these guys a couple of months, you know, about 25, 30 games of playing together, plus Giannis's legs needed to get in better shape because of his knee surgery. And Dame didn't play basketball this summer. He worked out diligently like he always does, but he didn't play basketball because his destination in terms of his trade request was still up in the air. So he didn't want to take a chance to get hurt and you know, setting back that timetable at all. So he needed time also to kind of get his conditioning right, to get his legs right. He tried to dunk left-handed on somebody the other night, which I think it was blocked, but it showed you just how good he's feeling in terms of a 6'2 guard trying to get up and throw down a dunk on a 6'10, 7-foot guy. I think it was Shingun or somebody of the Rockets that got him. But he's really rounding into form, and that spells a lot of issues off. This team already is, what, 18-19-7? I mean, they're doing a tremendous job as they try and find themselves, and as they try and find this blend between Giannis and Dame. And once everything kind of falls into place, I mean, it's going to be really, really scary just how good they are going to be potentially.
And Marcus, interesting observation that you had about the size of the players guarding Dame, who is, as you said, 6'2". But Marcus, as you know, the Bucks have a new head coach, Adrian Griffin, patrolling the sideline, his first time at the helm of an NBA team. From what you've seen so far, tell us about Adrian's coaching philosophy and what you've seen about his leadership style.
Well, you know, his leadership style, he's a very intelligent, I'll call him a young man because he's a young man to me. But he has a doctorate degree, PhD in, I think, organizational leadership that his former coach that he worked for, Nick Nurse, who also has his PhD in the same subject matter, but encouraged him to make the commitment to get, and he wanted to do it, Adrian, for his father. So that gives you an idea. He's got a son, AJ, who is a tremendous basketball player for the Atlanta Hawks. He's got a daughter who plays for UConn and has been there for whatever, 4 or 5 years. And, you know, she's doing a terrific job and had one of her best games recently that our own Lisa Byington was able to broadcast against Louisville. So I say that to say it shows that, you know, in terms of developing players, you look at a guy, what he's done with his kids and see how good they've turned out, you know, whether it's hands-on development or him supervising and directing their development from afar, you know that he knows what he's doing. And so I say that to say I like his transparency. The fact that the Bucks were struggling after the first four games with this defense where Brook Lopez made the adjustment of playing at the level of the screen. A couple of players, I believe it was Giannis and Chris, that hasn't been specifically identified for as a fact, but I believe Giannis and Chris went to Adrian Griffin and said, look, we need to go back to playing drop defense, letting Brook play where he's most comfortable around the rim, protecting the paint. And Adrian Griffin said, okay, and went with that. And then Brook, the very next game against the Knicks, had like 8 blocks. And so, but then the point, though, Gail, is that Adrian Griffin, instead of trying to keep that under his vest, close to his vest, and not let anybody know that the players talked to him about that, he came out and said, the players made the suggestion, I went with it, and it was successful, so we'll stay with it. A lot of coaches' egos wouldn't allow them to make that admission. So that transparency, I was kind of questioning whether that was the right move to be that transparent, but looking back hindsight, that was the absolute right thing to do. So the main thing that you judge a guy by is what is his record right now. And going into like 26 games or so, I think we're 19-7 or whatever it is at this point. I mean, we could easily be, you know, if he was struggling, like, you know, whatever, you know, 13-13 or 14-12 or, you know, those would be evidence of a coach that's struggling. The fact that we're winning at the rate that we're winning, I think really, really bodes well, because this team and its ceiling is still incredibly high.
Marcus, you're absolutely right. Most coaches in the NBA would be envious of 19 wins at this point in the season. And we'll have more with Marcus Johnson right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more of Gale with Bucks legend and TV analyst Marcus Johnson.
Marcus, under Coach Bud, the Bucks' mantra was defense. This year it seems like maybe the script has flipped. Shooters up and down the bench, and the defense seems to be quite a work in progress. Your thoughts?
Well, defense right now is still an area where the team is constantly evolving. It's getting better. And the one thing, Gail, that I looked at a few days ago, so it may have changed since that point, but what were we doing in the clutch when the game was on the line, when it's 5 points or less, 5 minutes or less, and we were top 5 in both offensive rating and defensive rating, and we were number 1 in net rating. And that's when you know kind of combine the two and you subtract one from the other and you get the net rating. And net rating, always the teams with the best net rating every year are the teams that go the furthest in the playoffs. Normally Miami was kind of an anomaly last year, but they got hot late and started with the Milwaukee Bucks in the playoffs to reach the finals. Our clutch performances have really been good. So what that tells me, and that was over about 17, I think, clutch games or so. And we had a great record of 13 or 14 clutch games. I forget what it was exactly, but our record was outstanding. I think the second most clutch wins in the league at that point. And that tells me that when they want to set their minds to it and when they get into this area of desperation and urgency, then all of a sudden they lock in and are able to get the stops that are needed to be gotten to win basketball games. And that's the bottom line. So, yes, the defense is a work in progress. You've got a bunch of different systems on the floor at the same time based on what was going on last year between the holdovers under Coach Bud, the new guys and their respective systems that they come from, the young players, Andre Jackson Jr. coming straight out of college. You got a brand new coaching staff that has a way that they want these guys to play. But the thing I like about this team, Gil, is the fact that they are playing a physical brand of basketball that's been encouraged from day one. And I'm not just talking about hard fouls and elbows and all that kind of stuff, drawing blood. I'm talking about the subtleties of the game in terms of if your man is going to set a screen, then you're going to fight him to that position where he sets the screen. And once he gets there and tries to set the screen, you're gonna bump him and push him out a little bit further than he wants to be, so you disrupt the timing of your opponent. A lot of the subtleties these guys have covered, and now it's just a question of the guys on the court executing everything they want done. But it's coming. It's coming, and I think we've struggled big time, Gil, maybe the first 4 or 5 games statistically. But since that point, the last 15 games, this team is 12-3, and their defensive rating is middle of the pack, about 13-14, I think overall it's maybe 20-21. But that's indicative of how badly this team struggled initially. But it's getting better and better each and every basketball game, and I think it will continue to do so.
So, Marcus, before we run out of time, got to ask the important question. So let's switch gears to the question of the hour. Now, you're famous for your birthday dunk, and February 8th is coming. It'll be birthday, I believe, number 68. Will we see yet another stylish dunk?
Well, man, look, I can't promise anything, Gail, but I had a hip replacement done July 25th. And so the surgeon that performed the operation, one of my best friends in the world from UCLA, I met him when I was 17, Dr. Don Sanders. I said, Don, what do you think, man? Will I be able to dunk on my birthday? He said, look, everything that you could do before this hip flared up a couple of months ago, you'll be able to do after I get through with this surgery. I'm gonna put a little bit of extra padding in there just to help. But then he showed me. He sent me, emailed me some of the mixed martial artists and some of the yoga instructors and ballerinas that he had done double hip replacements for. And Gil, they're jumping all over the place and doing splits and flying around. And it just really gave me encouragement that if I stuck to my rehab, which I've done diligently, and even more so because I'm obsessive when it comes to stuff like that, that I'll be able to do one more dunk. And so this is what we're gearing up towards in February. But if I'm going to amp up and wrap it up in January, man, and see. And so it's a thing that the motivation behind it, Gail, is not to, bring a lot of attention to myself, but it just helps me to stay focused in terms of the older I get, my physical well-being, taking care of myself, working out 6 days a week. And then the duck is kind of a byproduct. If I do it, it's great. We have fun with it. And if I continue to do so, that'll be great. If I don't, that's okay too. But at least I would have given it my best shot. And that's the thing that I think matters the most.
Well, Marcus, I'll bet we see a monster dunk in February. Good luck to you. And always great to sit down with you. Your insights are terrific as always. We really appreciate your time. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Happy holidays, everyone.
Our thanks to Gail and to Marcus Johnson tonight for that conversation that you heard. Just to get you up to speed on a couple scores out there. A tight one in Minnesota between the Timberwolves and the Miami Heat. 109-106, less than 30 seconds remaining in that game. In Miami, I should say, not in Minnesota. The Indiana Pacers, Tommy, one of your favorite teams, it seems like they're starting to get humbled a little bit since the play-in tournament. Throttled by the Clippers, 151-127. And man, that Pacers defense. If you're experiencing any offensive shortcomings and struggles, you want the Pacers on the schedule.
Yeah, you can break out of it pretty easy against them.
151 points scored by the Los Angeles Clippers. That's quite a few 140-point games that the Pacers have given up already this season. They now drop into the play-in tournament if the season were to end today. They're 13-12, and man, remember when the Pacers had arrived and they were on the scene? They have now lost four straight games since the Bucks beat them in Milwaukee. So in those games, they have given up 140, 137, and one of those losses to the Washington Wizards. 137, 127, and 151 today in a win against the Pistons, the lowly Detroit Pistons. 123 points that they gave up. This team has basically given up 120 points every game since very early into the season. James Harden, by the way, had a stretch where he had four straight three-pointers in that game. I believe it was Daniel Tice came down, or not Daniel Tice, that's his teammate. I think it was Benedict Mathurin came down in his landing zone. James Harden just started doing snow angels on the court. Like, that's the level it has reached. Sixers also lost at home to the Chicago Bulls. Don't look now. I think the Bulls are 6-3 since Zach LaVine has exited the lineup. And Kobe White, another big game tonight with 24 points. The Bulls up to 11-17 on the season. So again, Bucks second place in the Eastern Conference at 19-7. They have a very, very good chance to get to 20-7 tomorrow against Victor Wembanyama. Well, not Victor Wembanyama, against the San Antonio Spurs, the Victor Wembanyama-less San Antonio Spurs tomorrow. Minnesota, I mentioned that score. They are up 3 late in the game. If that score holds, the Timberwolves will be the second team in the league this season to win 20 games. The Bucks with a chance to become the third tomorrow night. We'll take a look at that game a little more closely and wrap up the show after this. It's Bucks Weekly. It is a 7 o'clock tip at Fiserv Forum. And our pregame coverage begins at 6:30. As always, we will have Bucks talk immediately after the game. Your chance to weigh in on that game. Unfortunately, you will not have a chance to weigh in on the Giannis versus Victor Wembanyama showdown, as Wemby has been ruled out of the game tomorrow, battling an ankle issue. And again, this is a perfect get-right opportunity for the Bucks. I use that very loosely because they've been playing very well of late. 19-7 on the season. That is the second best record in the Eastern Conference and the third best record in basketball. Your Milwaukee Bucks, who, if we go back, how many weeks ago, Tommy? 2-3 weeks when all the talk was, what's wrong with this team? Did they hire the right coach?
Defensive liabilities.
And look, the defense, Marcus Johnson talked about this a little bit just a couple of moments ago, but the defense still has some work to do. The offense is certainly looking like an elite unit. Third in offensive rating for the season as a whole.
Do you think Giannis is off to his best start in his career right now? Best start to a season?
I do.
Yeah. 32 a game is nuts.
Last night, by the way, the first game since the game against the Pistons in early November that Giannis shot less than 50% from the field. He had a streak of 8 straight games shooting 60% or better. And to 3 of those 8, he shot 70% or better.
He's number 6, I believe, as of yesterday in field goal percentage, and everyone else who's around him is averaging 20 less points a game. I think the next closest is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is shooting, I think,
he's like 55 or something, 56.
And he's like 16th or 13th in the NBA right now.
No player has ever done what Giannis is doing so far. Scored 30 or more. 10 or more rebounds, 5 or more assists, and shot 60% or better from the field. The pairing between he and Damian Lillard is really starting to come together into what we all envisioned it would be. And again, we cautioned from the start, it was going to take time. This isn't NBA 2K where you can just flip the switch and it's your turn to score, now it's my turn. I keep going back to that game against the Raptors. If you look at Giannis' number since November 16th, that was one day after the Bucks returned to Toronto. Giannis did not play in that game, and that was right around the time, too, just afterwards, that Damian Lillard had missed those two games against the Pacers and against the Orlando Magic. And it really seemed like that kind of break was what that duo needed to kind of speed things up. That Giannis, in those games, Dame was out. Giannis basically went back to the role he had a season ago. That game that Giannis was out, Dame was basically the guy we saw in Portland. Not that he hasn't been close to that, but he was the guy that was running the offense. We saw things click, and from that point forward, they've both been very, very good. Damian Lillard is shooting 41% on threes since that game. And Giannis is shooting 65% from the field and averaging 33 points a game since that. So the offense has been elite, and the defense just keeps getting better gradually. They're right around the middle of the pack since November 3rd. Again, shoot for like 12, 13. If you can get there and keep getting better, especially into the playoffs, that means that's a defense that's going to keep us in the game, and our offense is elite, especially in the half court, that the offense can take it from there. Bucks and Spurs tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip at Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.